Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's sandysangeltalk@aol.com.
Well, Sandy, also, if that's just hard to remember, angeltalktv@aol.com would work too.
Yes, yes. Today's show is going to be Reflections on the Path While Walking God's Will. We predicted a year ago that God promised to lift everyone up who humbly asked for it, and that he would lift them out of the chaos, removing some of the karma we have not been able to get past, and allowing for our illnesses to drop away long enough for each one who is willing to understand the meaning of walking in oneness with God's will. So we invite you to join us for another exciting Angel Talk radio show sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. I would like to share with you a little prophecy from Archangel Gabriel. More intensity is being brought into everyone's life so that we can see the areas that hold us back from feeling love, harmony, and peace within ourselves. Our choices are either separating us from our oneness with God or bringing us closer to Him. When in His oneness, the chaos of life begins to move around us rather than consuming our life. Embracing trusting God, we let go of fear, which also sparks anger. God keeps giving us more and more time to get our lives in order before the shifts begin. But we are running out of time. We can't keep making excuses or procrastinating about working on releasing our negative emotional energies. We have to face them, no matter how hard it may seem. And trust, if we have faith in God, He will lead us back to the right path. Change will happen, but this time the results will allow us to see our oneness with God. More larger earthquakes will begin to happen after the end of March. The lower half of the world will experience more movement than the upper half, but both areas will experience more earthquakes. The tectonic plates of the planet are slipping more and more, and the pressure and magnetic energies are going to get more extreme. Many changes will happen before the end of the year. The biggest one should be our own inner reflection on how we view emotionally and mentally the situations of life. Try to hold more love in your heart. It will keep you moving on the right path. If you allow distractions with your thoughts on material desires, rather than trying to stay focused on your spiritual growth, it will pull you away from the path that leads you to the light of God. Try to discipline yourself so your mental thoughts don't attract energies that could mislead, trick, or deceive you. Stay focused on this last part of our spiritual movement forward. Trust, and God will guide you. Blessings to you.
Oh, awesome. You know, it was so interesting this week because I don't even remember exactly which day it was, but we were in our meditation, like always, and as we were, sometimes an angel will come through at the end of it, or Holy Trinity, if they have something especially that they want to tell us. But when they came through, it was the Archangel Gabriel. And there are sacred names of God that you can use to verify that that's who it is. And so we did. And he quickly had plain to say. And it's so interesting because it was a dual blessing. And by that, I mean, you get a blessing, but the blessing comes with responsibility. So, you know, you have to be willing. If you want to, you want to bless, you got to have the be willing to accept the responsibility that comes with it. It's just that simple. And so, you know, he started talking and he said, I just want you to know, we, of course, him meaning the Holy Trinity and maybe even a couple of archangels, said, we have decided that we're going to do something different with you two. And I thought, uh-oh. And I said, okay. And he said, we have spent very, very, very many or much time, you know, training the both of you. I thought, I think I've heard that before by the Archangel Michael. And it wasn't a pleasant way to say it, the way he said it. I mean, he's a booming voice. I mean, all we could do was look at each other and go, never mind. But when the Archangel Gabriel comes through, because he's the announcer or he is the one who brings messages typically, like he did with Mary on the steps of the temple when he acknowledged that she had been the chosen one to bring forth the divine masculine aspect of God. Christ, Jesus, his voice is specific and it is clear without a doubt, but his doesn't always boom like Michael's. When Michael has something to say, usually it's not something pleasant, you know. I mean, it's something that you need to do and do it quickly and, you know, maybe you missed it. With the Archangel Gabriel, you know, a little different, but still, It's you can tell that it's got, you know, the activity of Holy Spirit in it. And so when he came through, he said, much, you know, of our time has been spent training the two of you. And I thought, okay, keep going. And he said, and you know what? If war is needed, we can do that. But he said, we have decided to do something different with you two than we typically do. We don't usually do this, but we're going to do it with you two. I thought, really? Does that mean we can get out of here right now? You know, and nope, that wasn't it. So he said, what we're going to do, and it has been decided, is that we're going to give you information about who you are, who you were, you know, things that go back, way back. He said, from the beginning to the end, he said, so that, you know, number one, you want it, you desire it, you requested it. He said, but also, you know, so that you can have a better understanding of why you go through some of the things you go through. I thought, well, that would help be helpful, you know. And so he did. He started talking and he gave information that, oh my golly, I mean, information that I may have had pieces of, but didn't have all of it enough to even make a claim. But he did. Very simply, you know, I mean, he talked and we carefully listened, and he did that. And he said, and again, I just want you to know that we typically don't do that. And one reason is because some people don't want to know. You know, the sun is what buffers us from knowing a lot of truths about creation, how it began from the beginning to the end, things in our lives that may seem out of place or things that bring us down. And what may be the real issue behind it. But, you know, and that's why some of us just can't handle that. I mean, if we really knew the truth. And so I was very excited, absolutely excited, and hoping that I had not ever been, you know, something that you wouldn't want to be, you know. And, you know, and he said, you don't have many pieces left. He said, but a few. He said, and by giving you this, you should be able to take care of them quickly, so we expect you to. You know, oh, there it is. You know, there it is. And it's so funny because, you know, he said to us, you know, here it is. And he starts laying out, you know, I mean, a long ways back, and who we had been and who we have been and why some of the things that those lifetimes did or brought. And we just hadn't completely, you know, finished all of it. He said, you don't have any much time left. He said, and you two are part of the ones that are to be bringing this information in. And just a couple of pieces that you still haven't, you know, just really gotten rid of. Just throw them out. He said, so we're going to go ahead and give them to you. And trust me, this is a very large gift. And we knew it as such. And it was really so amazing. I'm not going to share with you what it was he told us about us, because it would sound like bragging. You know, my wife even said, oh, yeah, don't go there, you know, with anybody. But it was so funny because, you know, I felt like, you know, Sandy, I could really use a little time off, just maybe a day. And she said, me too. And I said, well, what do we do? I mean, I just had a cast on my leg, and it had just come off that day. He was supposed to be on for probably 8 weeks. And how long did it take, Sandy?
Only two.
2 weeks. And I had predicted, I'll have this thing off in 2 weeks. And it was a cast, a solid cast, and a huge metal boot that went all the way up to my knee that wrapped around it to protect the cast. And, you know, I had been dealing with an issue on my foot for probably, since 2017. I'd been to podiatrists, I'd been to specialists, you know, regular doctors, and they all, you know, oh, I know what that is. I can handle it. You know, or they give a diagnosis. And none of them had a clue, really. And I had asked God to bring me a doctor, please. He doesn't have to be, a specialist in everything known to mankind. I just need him to be able to know what to do or who to send me to that can help me. And I've only had him for about a month. And he was he's a doctor that only sees patients one day a week. And he was full. And I thought, well, you know, is he really full? You know, does he have an extra hour at night? Maybe 11 o'clock at night. I don't have a problem with that, you know. And I was like, well, maybe he does. So I saw him coming across the parking lot one day, and I thought, that's him. I just know it is. And I walked, kind of saw our paths were crossed. And I said, excuse me. I said, don't take this as an offense. I said, but, you know, are you this doctor? And I gave him his name. And he said, well, yes, I am. And I said, you know, I heard that you were really, really good. I said, and just real quick, I'll give you a synopsis. So I told him, I've been going through this since 2017, you know, and he comes and goes on my foot. And he said, okay, he said, I'll tell you what, call my secretary. He said, make an appointment and I'll take you on as a client. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, I mean, I was like walking on the clouds because he just doesn't take new clients. But, you know, if God wants you to see somebody, guess what? All of a sudden, there'll be an opening. And so we have to start looking at the things that happen around us. All of a sudden, you go, it makes you happy. It lifts you up. And take those as not as random acts, but that God's with you. God is leading you. And you wouldn't have, if you hadn't had your hand in the hand of God, then you wouldn't have probably been at that location, that place, and that time to have been able to, you know, to receive the blessing. And that's the key. So many people think that what they experience is just random. Wow, I got lucky that day. Really? You got lucky? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I hit the lottery for $10,000. No. Okay. Well, and what did you do with it? Did you take and buy $10,000 worth of food and go out? And anybody who was, you know, didn't have the money for food or was, you know, low income or couldn't, you know, take care of it, you helped feed them. Well, no, what a car. You know, I mean, it's like, okay, are you going to use that car to deliver food, you know, at the same time? Well, I hadn't planned on it. Right. So, you know, here's the problem. You can have the things you need, but, you know, we're in a time right now where there's only two sides. For years, we were allowed to sit on the fence. And, you know, I mean, I want to be spiritual. I had one girl tell me, I'd love to be spiritual, but once in a while, I like a beer and a cigarette. I said, do you really think God sets up there, you know, or God's everywhere, but do you really think that God cares if you have a cigarette and a beer? I mean, seriously. I mean, we're getting into a time where, you know, the choices we make have to be a little more specific and thought about, and God has to be in them. But, you know, a cigarette and a beer, anything done in moderation is the key. I remember, you know, one guy said it best. He said, cigarette smoking, now this was back in the 40s and 50s probably, but he said, cigarette smoking is not really the one that kills you. It's the guilt from the cigarette smoking that most people carry around that ends up giving them problems. And that's with everything. How much guilt do we carry around? This weekend, I bet I met four or five people, and that was their only issue, was guilt. they fall to themselves. And I said, are people judging you? Do you feel like that? And she said, not anymore. She goes, but myself, I said, yeah, you're your own worst judge. And if you can't stop judging yourself, and what are you judging yourself about? I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, if God can forgive you, why can't you? Well, I know, but I felt like I let him down. Really? I mean, we're talking about God here, right? I mean, and we're talking about, you know, a rebellion in heaven that occurred, I mean, with his own best angels, sometimes, some of them. I mean, God is a very patient God. And I mean, the only reason that we haven't all gone home yet is because, you know, God is waiting for one more even. You know, if I can add one more, remember the story of the 99 and the one sheep? He left the 99 and went to find the one that was lost. And it tells you that he's very patient. He, you know, if he thinks, if God knows that down the road, a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, that one more could be added, well, you know, time can even be changed to accommodate. And you got to be patient. Patience, again, you've heard me say this, is an aspect of time. It's a fourth dimensional time. If you can comprehend it, then it can help lift you up too. Because patience allows you to watch yourself go by. So it's been said. Now, a little difficult maybe to understand. Watch yourself go by. Yes, think about it. You do things all the time. Do you really watch what you do when you do them or make decisions? But when you do, all of a sudden, time changes within your sphere of activity. And so the idea here is that, again, step back and watch yourself go by. And that gives you past. There is no present. Try to capture the present. Anything you could possibly think, it's gone before you could even begin to capture it. So there's past, there's future, and you don't want them to be the interactive part of your life that brings you up, brings you down, brings you over, brings you up, down again. And we are at a part right now where God is giving us the grace to not have to do that. But patience is the key. Now, you're standing in line, somebody behind you has one item, and you got a cart full. Step aside and let them go by. Now, I did that one time, and it was an older lady behind me, and she only had a couple of items. And when I asked her, if she, you know, she liked to go around me, I mean, boy, she let me have it with both barrels. I mean, what, you don't think I'm capable of doing it myself? You know, and I thought, this is the one. Because my whole idea was I went into a store, and I made the commitment that I was going to make everybody smile and laugh before I left. Everybody. And there was probably a couple hundred people in there. And this is my test. You know, what do I do, God? And all of a sudden, before it was over, guess what? We walked out together, you know, at the checkout together, out the front doors together, out to the cars together. And we were both laughing and smiling by the time we got out there. God doesn't let you down, but you got to have patience sometimes. I mean, I thought, oh, man, I'm going to lose my, you know, my commitment here from one person who, you know, just didn't think that what I was doing was maybe in the best interest of her or the world or whatever it may be, or a lesson. But,
well, Jim, you know, in the words, in your patience possess you your souls, that's attributed to the master in reference to what we might expect, particularly in the latter days, you know, because the interpretation that possessing the soul involves becoming aware of processing of the soul, which is like in Luke 21:19. So, yeah, patience is something that, you know, everybody has to learn.
And it's not always the easiest, but I can tell you this, whatever lane I'm in driving, it ends at 500 feet. You know, I mean, just it's just that way. And whatever lane I'm in at the supermarket, there are going to be two people in one lane and 10 in the other. If I jump in the one with two, the 10 will go through first. I mean, I'll look over and they'll all be gone. And I'm still waiting to get to the the girl to check me out. I mean, and so I know that patience is something that is learned and you have to accept it. And no matter how long it takes, you may be there for 20 minutes when the whole 10 went through in five. But, you know, there's some reason. God always has a reason. And so you just got to let it be and let it flow. And that's what the time we're in. It's not about making great plans. Don't make great plans to build yourself a palace or to build yourself a great big 10-bedroom house when it's just you and your husband. And you'd be amazed at how many people we know that want 6-bedroom houses, and it's just, you know, a wife and a husband. And it's like, why? Well, the guy next door has one. You know, and I thought, see, I mean, this is where we have come in patience. You know, I want it not, and I don't have to wait on it. I want it now. I had a girl tell me the other day, she goes, I prayed, and you know what? God did not answer my prayer. How long did you pray? How long ago did you pray? I don't know, 6 months or so, or a little more. 6 months. Well, my guess, it was a big prayer. You know, as I look at you and you talk to you, it was a big prayer. What? It was actually more than one. Well, yeah. And I said, well, 6 months, really? Have you been trying? Have you been trying to be where God wants you to be so that when the opportunity comes that you're asking for, I said that it's, you're there. You're where you're supposed to be. I don't worry about that stuff. So, you know, maybe you should. I'm just saying, you don't have to listen to a word I say, but prove me wrong is what I usually say. And I mean, what more could I say except prove me wrong? But it's so funny. We are in the Aquarian age. And it's been said that the Old Testament was of the Father. The New Testament was of the Christ, you know, our God and Savior. And the millennium, which started in 1998, actually, is the time of the Aquarian age, or the time of the mother. Now, if you look very closely, you will see that I did it again. Drop him on. Can you hear me, Sandy?
I can hear you.
Okay. The thing is that, you know, too many times I hear people pray, and they'll say, in the name of the Father and of the Son. And I thought, didn't you miss one? I mean, don't we have a Holy Trinity? And it's like, well, yeah, but it's not necessary to say that. Really? Because in my life, I have found that everything that's coming to me is coming to me in three. I mean, I'll look at everything, and there's three. If you read a book, I find that if it's a spiritual book, it's amazing to me how the first part of it, I'll read it, and then I'll read the second, maybe half of it, and the third, and to finish it. But what I found is that the second has all the information the first had in it. And the third part has everything in it that the first and second part had in it. It just rearranges it and changes the wording a little bit, but it's really basically the same information. And why would a writer do that? Well, I think it's a genius. Because number one, we will receive it and accept it and remember it a whole lot easier if it's given to us in three. It just is. We may reject the first part of it. I'm not too sure about that. I have to think about it. But by the time we get to the second, you know, and we reread it, and we don't really realize it's the same information. I think that's right, you know, and we don't even realize that we change in a couple of days. And by the time we get to the third one, well, that's the understanding. And the understanding breaks it down for us. And that's what I hear from everybody. Well, there's parts I don't understand. I read them, but they don't make sense. Well, that disciples said the same thing to Jesus. They said, you know, you talk sometimes in parables, but, you know, the people around you don't really understand them. And sometimes we don't. And Jesus said, I talk in parables so that you will see that those who aren't supposed to know it won't. I don't care what they do. If they're not supposed to know the information, they will never get it. But if you ask God to bring it to you, then God will bring it to you. It may come in your dream state. It may come at night. It may come during the day. I have found that if it's something I'm reading at night, then the information that I want comes through the day, because we're in a polarity world. If I read it through the day, it comes during the evening or night hours. But it comes. I can tell you this for a fact. God has never made a promise to me that God didn't keep. And I told the one woman I was talking to, I said, keep praying. And I see by June, your prayers will be answered. But you know what? It's interesting because I was doing a little reading the other day, and this one statement was said, and it was that, number one, a lot of us pray, but then we don't quiet ourselves long enough to get the answer we ask for. And if it's something material that we need, trust me that God knows ahead of time what you need. He knows before you know it what you need and not what you want. But God's a gracious God, you know? I mean, when he gives to overflowing. My goodness, do you know anything else or anyone else that has ever given you anything that never stops flowing? That's God. God is not a God too little. God is not a God of not enough. You know, and God is not limited by your circumstances. So if you can remember those things, and you see there's three, it will typically always come in three because we are in the Aquarian age and it is of the mother. And I don't think a lot of churches preach that the Holy Spirit is the feminine aspect of God. But we have a family, right? We have a father. We have children sometimes. But could we have any of that if we didn't have a mother? No. So, you know, God made the family, you know, in the image of, you know, the Godhead, the Trinity, three in one. They're not separate. They're one. They have to be one. If one tells you something and another one tells you something different, you should question that very carefully because, you know, the information should be the same. The only time I've ever seen it change at all is if you have a material angel, which works mostly with the earth plane. Then it may not be as spiritual as it is material. It will tell you where to plant, how to plant. And trust me, I mean, we have had an angel of nature tell us how to plant a garden, you know, for a meditation garden. And we decided that, well, we really would like to have this color up there. They told us not to. Yeah. Angel of Nature said, no, I wouldn't do that because that's not the color that should be there. And we decided to just go ahead and do it anyway. I walked out there the next morning. There were 24 holes where I had buried the bulbs. 24 holes. Something, probably a ground squirrel, had come out there in the middle of the night and decided, you know what? Here's a smorgasbord of dinner. And every one of those holes, the bulb was missing. I thought, you know what? Maybe we should plant them next time over there where we were told to. And it's really interesting. But when the Aquarian age, do you know that the Mother Mary was an Aquarian? Absolutely. Aquarius, in its perception of spirituality, can bring you closer to perfection more quickly, which is why its present ascendancy is now bringing so many opportunities for soul growth, actually. One thing I wanted to share here, if you have something you want to say, Sandy, go ahead and I'll find my note.
Okay. Well, a little bit on a different part is that, you know, we've talked about heaven and hell, but very little about the specific way we, as like co-creators with God, are building by our thoughts and our choices and our activities and ideals, those kinds of experiences in the consciousness into which we will move whenever we pass on. Okay? Because God the Father does indeed have an awareness and concern about each and every one of his children. You know, we've heard that he who endures until the end shall wear the crown of life. Well, here, the crown of life is interpreted as being aware of those abilities within yourself to know that the self, the ego, or the I, is in accord with and is aware of the divine protection. The crown of life, then, is an awareness. You know, and the crown of life, which comes with the awareness that the I is in accord with, is aware of the divine protection that has and does come to each and every soul that fulfills its mission in any experience. I know that the mission of the soul, you know, there's an opportunity to do what the soul knows to do towards, you know, your fellow friends and people, being which is in accord with the injunctions of the Lord. So some of the injunctions that we want to look at, have some clarity and understanding, is that one of them is that you may make your path straight. Because so many times we get distracted. We get pulled off of our path. And you can relate, you know, Jim, how many people you've counseled and worked with due to this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, also, that you do unto others as you would have others do unto you. You know, this is one of the simple basic ones that we need to follow. And to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. You know, when we follow these, we are keeping ourselves on the straight path, walking in the light of God, and we're attracting to us more of the positive energies that will help us be lifted to another level of awareness. And another thing to remember is to try to avoid evil. You know, sometimes people set themselves up for situations that basically all they're doing is drawing negativity and evil right into themselves. You know, the more that we can see a bigger picture than just reacting to situations, the better chance we'll have in avoiding this evil. You know, and also to keep your heart joyous in service and in the tasks that are set before you day by day. It's too easy to become so serious over everything. Everything you look at, you're just like, oh, I can't believe that's happening. You know, yeah, you watch your TV, I can't believe that's going on. You know, so this is a big one to try to bring your heart into this joyous state of service.
Because, Sandy, one thing I want to say, too, is that how often lately, you know, when we decided just to take out a little bit of time and turn on a TV show, it was like we couldn't find any show that didn't have a vampire or a, you know, something in it that was just not positive.
I know. Yeah. And, you know, the last one would be like, do with the might in the Lord that your hands find to do. And Jim, you had a good way of explaining that one.
I did?
Yeah.
you mean in using your hands?
Yeah.
Well, the idea here is that, you know, if you wanted to build something or you wanted to put something, you know, that you've been thinking about, but it's something you need. And need is the key here. If it's something you just want, well, it's not that God wants to deny you things even you want. But we have a tendency as human beings, that part, human part of us, to want more or bigger or greater than what we need. And it becomes a problem. It becomes a burden around our neck, number one. Because if it's something we just want and we're determined to have it anyway, how long do you think it's going to last? I mean, not long at all. It's going to begin almost immediately to fall apart because if God's not in it, then it can't survive. It is a law that it won't survive.
Exactly. And now, you know, the Lord called physical bodies into being so that we might have a channel to give expression to the fruits of the Spirit, you know, in meditation, claim the promise that in the silence, we may be quickened by the Spirit and enabled to manifest those fruits of the Spirit, the kindness, the joy, the mercy, peace, justice, and harmony. All of these, we need to keep reminding ourselves of that we want to stay in this kind of energy. You know, when you move into a higher dimensional plane, it's really operated through the mental. And so if we can learn to take control over our mental thoughts and try to focus more on the pureness rather than the darkness, you know, we'll find that our lives will begin to change, begin to be uplifted, and that will move in a direction that makes us feel much better inside. Now, the children of God may expect a personal response when we approach him as Father. It's only our own waywardness, indecision, and unkindness that may keep us from this oneness. So no power in heaven or earth, no principalities or other powers can separate the soul from the love of the Father except what we inflict upon ourselves. And it's what Jim was saying to you earlier when he was counseling the young lady. she had so many issues that she was blaming herself for, that it just stifled her from moving forward.
And they, when you looked at them as she was saying them, it's like, really? You're blaming yourself for that? I mean, number one, I mean, one of them was, you think you're just a little too heavy. Really? I mean, honestly, I think you're perfectly proportioned, but if you don't, then you have things you can do, including prayer, meditation, and you know what? You will find that God will give you a way, always. Now, a lot of times that we pray, and then we'll say, like one lady said, God didn't answer my prayer. Well, what do you expect? An answer to your prayer right at that moment, I mean, 2 seconds after you said it. I said, the best way to pray is this. God knows what you need before you ask. I mean, we're talking about God here. So why do we ask? And you know, you'll find among atheists, they'll say, really, Christians, in my estimation, are just a bunch of needy people who constantly go to God and complain and want something. You know, and I just think that's funny. But, you know, but do we? Is that how we pray? Honestly, the best way to pray, in my estimation, and this is just my opinion, is that you go to God in gratitude, in faith, and you give him the glory ahead of time for what the opportunity or, you know, the gift that he is giving you, because he already knows you need it. So when I pray, I say, God, I know you know what I need before I even say it. So I praise your name. I give you the credit, and I will always give you the credit, from the littlest things to the biggest things. And I am so thankful that you answer my prayer.
Edgar Cayce gave a nice prayer. And he said, thy will, O God, be done in me as thou seest I have need of, that I may be one with thee, even as that I possessed with thee before the world was.
Right. Because, you know, even in the chapter of Job, there's a part of it that if you go back and read the original Greek or the Aramaic, either one, the Greek is more often used in its interpretation. But if you go back and look at the original Greek, there's a statement made in there that you weren't there in the beginning of time when I made the heavens and the world and the waters and the deep. And, you know, and it was almost like he was, you know, putting him in his place. But you know what? It's a misinterpretation. That's my opinion, and you can take and look it up yourself. But it was said you were there when I created the heavens and the earth. When I made this earth and this little blue planet, you were with me.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, we need to remember that we were with God in the beginning, and that we went astray only because of our own choices.
But, you know, there is something to be said about that, because many people talk about the fall, but they don't really know what the fall was. Was it Eve that ate the apple? Well, if you look at the original writings, it was Adam that fell first. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it changes it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem, one of the problems there was that Adam had a little bit of ego. And once the split had occurred, and so he always, you know, would walk and talk with God in the early evening. And it says that God told Adam, do not eat of this tree, the apple of knowledge. But he didn't tell Eve. Now, here's a problem. How many of you guys out there have a girlfriend or a wife, you know, or a maid of some kind? And, you know, if you went to them and said, hey, I talked to God today and he told me I need to buy myself a sports car. You know, not you. You can't drive it. I was told specifically, do not let your wife drive it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how well would that go over?
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't, would it?
It probably wouldn't.
And it didn't go over then very well either, you know, because Eve wasn't there when God gave the first commandment to not eat of that tree. And, you know, the tree of knowledge is simply just, you know, three-dimensional choices. And there are not enough years in a third-dimensional planet or even a galaxy to be able to work out every aspect of one bite of that apple
that
came from that tree. And so I am just so grateful that God gives us mercy. And not only that, God came to us not too long ago the Holy Trinity, and they said God has decided to give mankind a gift that you probably won't find in your Bible, unless you look really deep in interpretation. And they said God is going to lift his people up. Anybody that, you know, is not just of the completely dedicated to the dark side. And he may even do that, because God really doesn't choose. I mean, he wants to wait. That's why we haven't gone home yet, because he wants to make sure everybody gets all the chances they can, if he thinks that they could. And so we have to sit and wait and be patient, or be helpful to, in that aspect, to try and bring that about. Even the one, the story of the 100 sheep, and the 99 were there, but the one was lost. And the shepherd went looking for the one.
Mm-hmm.
And if, I mean, what better story is there than that?
That's wonderful. Yeah. You know, and we do make mistakes along the way. And sometimes, you know, we do create some karma. But it's very important for us to learn about the law of karma. We must learn that we give account for every idle word. We need to understand the law in order to have a proper appreciation of the circumstances and conditions in which we find ourselves. We need to learn universal laws in order to understand how a loving God may permit his children to make choices and meet their consequences, even when they involve pain and suffering. But however, one of the most important things that we may ever learn is that God does not record our karmic debts and hold it against us something that must be repaid. It is rather that like begets like, and what we sow, we reap. But however, as we meet ourselves in his spirit, the consequences are so transformed that the outcome is entirely different.
But the hard part of it is, Sandy, is that, you know, that those little bits even of karma, God can't look upon sin.
Right.
So it has to be something that God either wipes from the book of life or the book of remembrance ahead of time, or we ask for repentance. And honestly, at this time in our planetary future, I think it's, if you just ask for the humbleness and humility and ask for the repentance, you probably won't have to deal with it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And what more could you ask for?
Right. Yeah, because, you know, our karmic debts may be experienced just as like stepping stones instead of like stumbling blocks. And on occasion, maybe even blotted out. You know, take a look at Acts 3:19 or Isaiah 1:18. You know, these are some of the things that we talked about. You know, one of the things I want to talk about is that one of the places that we can find some information is in the Flower of Life. You know, in the beginning of great change on the earth, there is the weakening of the geomagnetic fields. You know, you've noticed that birds are migrating in different locations, you know, because
fish.
Of the magnetic lines. Yeah, the fish, the whales and the dolphins, you know, they're like beaching themselves.
And we have animals here that I don't remember ever seeing before.
Right, yeah. So eventually, the geomagnetic fields will probably collapse and fall to zero. If this happens, several scenarios could take place. The field could reverse itself and the poles could switch, or it might return to the same pole configuration after it reaches zero, but with a completely different axis. So the importance of the geomagnetic field lies in the effect that it has on the human mind when and if it moves to zero and stays there for more than 2 weeks. Because for more than 2 weeks, you know, you may lose, you know, your memories and start acting kind of nuts. You know, it seems that the Earth's magnetism holds our memories intact, you know, much like a recording. And this is tied to our emotional bodies. So it may seem strange that geomagnetic would affect our emotions, but look at it. The full moon makes only slight changes in the geomagnetics, you know, but the effects become pretty obvious.
But you know, Sandy, it was also said in the scriptures that those things, all the stars, the moon, the sun, all of those, the planet itself, all of those things were made for us. and mm-hmm. bias
right.
as part of the, you know, one was oneness with the logos.
Right.
And so it was said that we anticipate, oh, it's a, right, it's a, you know, Mercury's is in front of us and we're behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't make a decision that would have to do with money. Don't make a decision for this or for that. And you know what? That's absolutely not true. They were made for our use. So if you look at it positively rather than negatively, oh, no, I can't do that today. I was going to pay this bill, but I can't do it till tomorrow. You know, it's not about that. They were made for our use. Everything that was made for God's children so that we could learn how to be co-creators with him. And I don't think we have remembered that or even think about that. Oh, I can't affect the moon. I can't affect a star.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can. Every star that's out there was made for your use. And if you become one with God in your meditation and you find that star that is just your star and you communicate with it, you can get it to change. You'd be amazed at the things you can do that you have no idea you can do.
Right. Well, as you know, it is said that, you know, you grow in awareness to a higher level of consciousness, which takes you out of a third dimensional reality into more of a fourth dimensional reality. But as we're growing, everything is shifting and changing. You know, about, you know, we're going to say about 6 hours before this major shift happens, you know, you're going to begin to see some pretty strange things. You know, you'll turn and see maybe a large, brightly glowing object of strange colors floating maybe 3 feet off the floor next to the wall. And as you try to figure out what it is, maybe a smaller one appears out of nowhere a few feet away, and they begin to float around the room. And then the whole room is filled with these strange, unimaginable things.
And we've seen that.
Right.
But don't let it scare you.
Right.
Because fear is never good.
Right. And you may think you're having a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
Or that maybe your brain has
other
a tumor.
Other people think you're having a mental
yeah.
breakdown.
So, you know, that your brain may be having a tumor and affecting your perception.
Right.
But neither is the case, you know. And then all of a sudden, the floor may begin to break apart and the whole house begins to distort. And maybe like you run outside into nature where everything seems normal, except that there are many of these strange things elsewhere, you know. There really is nowhere to go. It is beautiful, and you will feel fantastic. You will feel more alive than you ever did when you were in the normal earthly reality, and each breath will seem to be really exciting. But then soon, you'll be surrounded by this red fog, which seems to have had its own source of light, and it seems to be everywhere. And you can even breathe it, and you notice that the red fog then slowly starts changing color to orange. And then you soon see its orange turns to yellow, and the yellow starts changing that into green, and then to blue, and then to purple, and then to violet, and then to ultraviolet. And then this powerful flash of pure white light explodes in your consciousness. And you're not only surrounded by this white light, but it seems that you're in this light. For you are there. You know, there's nothing else in existence. And this last feeling seems to continue for a long time. Slowly and very slowly, this white light will change into a clear light. And the place where you're sitting becomes visible again. And only, it looks like everything is metallic and made of like gold, like the trees, the clouds, the animals, the houses, the people, except your body, which may or may not appear like gold. And almost imperceptibly, the gold metallic reality becomes transparent.
So that's the gold at the beginning of the rainbow.
Right, exactly. And then slowly everything begins to look like a golden glass. And you'll be able to see right through walls. You can even see people walking behind them.
Because materiality is what? Not really what we think it is.
Right.
We look at it as being, knock on it, hey, it's real.
And then what will happen is that we will go into what the Bible says, the 3 days of darkness.
Right.
Really
that
what
will,
it is.
That will shake a lot of people. And if you're prepared for it, it won't. Now, you might miss your television for a couple of days.
That's right.
You know, that's my guess. Or the phone even. Some people have the, what is it, the walkie-talkie type phones. But you know that they can go across the airwaves. I can't tell you that those work either. But, you know, if you got a mate, You know, I mean, you'll have 3 days of darkness. Hey, you know, enjoy it. But even if you have friends, make plans now that you can actually kind of get together during that 3 days, because you won't be able to even see your hand in front of your face for that 3 days.
Yeah, because this blackness is going to engulf, you know, and your old world will be gone forever. You can't see anything now, not even your body. You'll realize that you're stable, but at the same time, you seem to be floating, and that your familiar world is gone. You don't feel fear there, but there is nothing, because there's nothing to be afraid of.
Right.
It's completely natural, because you've entered the void between the third and the fourth dimension.
Right, but it is caused by, we can say, a star-like object that comes between us and the sun.
Yeah.
And, but so what? We've had it happen before. And thank goodness it's not going to hit us. At one time, it's believed that it comes through here every so often, and it did take out a planet, you know, in our solar system, and that's where we got the asteroid belt. Well, yeah. Thank goodness we don't need another one.
Yep.
But
yeah.
I do want to say that the Association for Research and Enlightenment really went into all of this, Fadi. I mean, mm-hmm. actually, and if we only knew, you know, took the time to understand, it really makes everything easy. And if you're walking in the will of God, and that's the key, ask God, my will be yours, in yours, and one with yours, not mine, but yours. And if you do that and really mean it, and if you find yourself straying a little bit to the left or the right, just stop for a second and say the prayer again and be committed to it. And if you do, you will not have to worry about, you know, being pulled into something dark or, you know, find yourself in the middle of a battle. I mean, even I thought we were getting away this past week for just a day, a night, you know, and all only thing I know is that it was horrible place that we went. And it was just, the music was bad. I mean, and I just got in a cast off, so I wanted to do a little bit of dancing. You know, I love my wife. And you know, the music was terrible. And so we went back to where we were staying, and guess what? I am positive that there was an entire child and feminine abduction group in that place. And I think the owners were even involved, but I can't say for sure, so I'm not going to give you a name. But when I was standing up front, he told me I couldn't stand there. I said, what do you mean? He said, you can't be here. Why? So it's the lobby. He said, nobody's allowed the lobby. Well, when is anybody, are they allowed in here anytime? Oh, during the day. Who wants to be in here during the day? You know, I just asked him, you got five couches. I can't sit on one? Absolutely not. And he was like crouched in the corner. And he has things for sale that you could eat. But I thought, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, what, you know, here's what it's going to be. I'm not moving from right where I'm standing until you pick up that phone and call the state police. And I kept seeing drug deals going down in the parking lot. I said, there's a lot of activity around this place. And I'd walk outside, and they'd pull right up next to me. And someone would come running out of the place and into the truck, and they'd make a drug deal right there, like if they couldn't see me. And I thought, what the heck? And I thought, you know, God, when you want something done, you don't always tell me ahead of time, but I think I'm going somewhere to actually get away from it, you know. And sometimes, for us, it's hardly ever that way. I mean, but I don't think it would have been seen. And I do know, I'm pretty sure that the guy who ran the place around it, and he was involved. But, I mean, literally, they were dragging girls down the hallways and outside, screaming and yelling and kicking, young girls. And it was like, oh, this ain't normal, you know. But I could not get that owner to call the police. I had to call the state police myself. And they showed right up. I mean, it wasn't 5 minutes till they were there. And I gave them all the information I could. And I make statistics for that purpose. But one thing I wanted to share with you, too, that we're in the Aquarian age. We don't think about, oh, that's Zodiac. No, that's not of God. Of course it's of God. God set every planet and every star and every blade of grass in movement of creation for our purposes, for our purposes, so that we could grow. Look at a praying mantis into the eyes and see your creator in that insect. And you know what? It'll see it back in you, because we are all created to serve God, and nature serves God without question. Man is the only one who has the ability to rebel against their own creator. And so it makes a difference as to how we do that. But when you think that the mother of Jesus was an Aquarius or an Aquarian, it makes you stop and think about it. And who the others were. I mean, you know how many presidents we have had that were very famous that were Aquarians. And even just individuals throughout our history. President Franklin D. Roosevelt, guess what? He was an Aquarian. And he had a different way of looking at things. And so you can usually tell an Aquarian because they are a little bit different, you know? And I'm finding more and more and more of them. And it's like, you'll talk to somebody and it's, wow. You know, we met one lady and I didn't remember, but it probably been a year ago or more. And I said, oh, you're smiling. And she said, yes, I am. She goes, you know why? I said, why? She goes, a year ago, walked up to me and you said, I saw you smiling earlier and now you're not. She goes, and I was having the worst day of my life. I didn't see how I was going to get through it. And you walked up to me and you said, you look so pretty when you smile. She said, and all of a sudden, it just shifted me and it changed the way I was thinking. And I had the best day of my life. And I mean, you don't think about that, you know, it's going to have that kind of an effect on you. But sometimes it does. You hope it does. And if you're walking hand in hand with God, God's the one who is, you know, moving through you and allowing the changes to occur. And I mean, I don't think, except that one woman, I don't think the other day that there was anybody that didn't appreciate the smile, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And when we mentioned it. And when we go in to eat somewhere, we always call the manager over to our table before we leave. For what reason? To give the waitress, you know, the credit for being above and beyond what one could expect. Don't ever get rid of her, you know, because she made us laugh and she made us smile. She was right there if we needed something, and to give her that to our manager. How many people do you think do that? They might leave a tip, but they stop long enough to tell the manager. And typically I'll tell a waitress, I'm not going to tell you why I want to talk to the manager, you know, and they look like, she's like, did I do something bad? But just call them over. And so, again, we do that all the time. And, you know, I mean, and we always get pretty good service, but I want to be able to build people up. And when you do that, you're working with God working through you. And it can change a soul, I mean, a person. And we don't always realize the little things that we can do. And now's the time. You don't have the ability to just sit on the fence. Now, you can have the ability to be impatient, and that's okay. But if you're impatient and you're in oneness with God, opportunities will come. All of a sudden, somebody will come walking by, and you can just tell they need a smile, you know, or they'll come by and they'll stop and they'll ask you a question. And it's like, where'd that come from? And it's like, God will use you even for the little things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In every moment that we could do something good for someone, remember, what you send out comes back in tenfold. So it's not just a good thing you're doing for them. I mean, their energies, you know, they'll come back and they'll be good towards you too that most times. And so, yeah, it's like it's important to recognize other people, not just as, look at that person over there, but as that, you know, we are all connected in one way or another. We are all part of a consciousness that we need to acknowledge and realize that, you know, if we do good to them, maybe they'll do good to somebody else, and it keeps growing. But if we cause them pain and suffering and anger, you know, most likely that'll spread then afterwards.
Oh, absolutely. We don't even really understand so often that when we're just sitting somewhere, that, and we're in kind of meditation with God or with the Christ Spirit, that just by lifting your hand when you're you're doing it just slightly,
one minute,
you will find that you can spread that out, because it's the Christ spirit that you're sending, and it goes out and it can change the lives of, I mean, every person that's within a mile, actually, of, and it will touch their heart, because
absolutely,
God is not limited, again, by our circumstances. And so it's important. We don't have to realize how important that, you know, or how much power, you know, something may be if God is within us. Just do it. You know, be active about it.
Wake up in the morning, give praise and gratitude, and look at each person as someone that you could make yourself God and proud in God's eyes.
Right. And you also notice sometimes you lay something down and all of a sudden you go out to get it, it's not there. We did that, I think, yesterday. And this wasn't a small item. It was probably 2 foot wide by a foot and a half tall. And I had set it on the coffee table. It wasn't on the coffee table. It's right in front of the couch. And we were both sitting there. Where did we put it?
The wrap.
And all of a sudden,
well,
there was.
We have got to end this now, but we thank all of you for joining us. And may God bless.
And give us a call, 304-567-3354.